to hold it down for Pax. And remember, the Freedom Train is brought to you by Pax Inc. That's P-A-C-T-S-I-N-C. And Pax Inc. is a black development organization aimed at developing the black community to its maximum potential. We'll focus on education and economics with a trace of hard work, honesty, and integrity. For more information, make sure you visit their website at www.pactsinc.org to learn more about the organization, the code of conduct, how you can become a member of the organization, how you can donate, how you can become involved. And if you hover your mouse over that Learning Center tab, you see that drop-down box with a whole lot of information in the Educational Center drop-down box, including audio, politics, books, survival information, legal cases, videos, and more. Once again, that website is www.pactsinc.org. And while you're online, make sure you visit our Freedom Train website at www.freedomtrainradio.com to learn more about myself, Patrick Irvin, Enigma September, Shelby Davis, and we got a good surprise coming up for you all. So we need you to stay tuned and pay attention to all of our podcasts that we have coming out in the coming weeks, because March we have something special for everyone. So once again, our website is www.freedomtrainradio.com. I still got our sponsors on that, man. So today's interview is special, and it's something of significance because it's centered around black history, African history, our history, us telling our stories, us and understanding the significance of our history and why we are where we are in this country and the strides that we have made, you know, because of the start that we really did have in this country. So here in Tallahassee in the year 2020, we're going to have a Black History Month Festival. And I have two ladies who are responsible for this Black History Month Festival that's being held here in Tallahassee in 2020. So without further ado, I want everybody to put their hands together for Ms. Priscilla Hawkins and Ms. Nicole Evans. Thank you, ladies.
Thank you.
Thank you for being on this podcast with me today.
Thank you for asking us.
Thank you, Joseph.
No problem. I am excited about what you have going on as far as the Black History Month Festival. I think it's very important because it's not only going to get the information out about our history, our stories, but it's important to me because it's a collaboration of the different minds in Tallahassee or in the surrounding areas who celebrate Black history. But usually we would do it on an individual basis, but because of you two, we have this collective energy that we're using this year in 2020, and I think that's important moving toward the future. So that's one of the things I do want to tip my hat to you both for, making sure that you bring this collective energy together, make sure that we are celebrating Black history together this year.
Well, we appreciate that.
No problem.
So this is Nicole, just to give a little bit of information about myself. I am originally from Miami, Florida, a graduate of the Florida Agricultural and Mechanical University School of Business and Industry. Have worked in the affordable housing arena for more than 20 years, but I started a talk show back in 2016 called Conversations with Nicole, which is all about community connection.
Yes. And Ms. Priscilla, can you give us some background information about yourself as well?
Well, I am a native of Tallahassee, born and raised here, went to Florida A&M University, was a graduate of the first journalism school at FAMU, the first journalism class, and then went off to find my way in the world, New York, D.C., came back to Florida and went to Orlando, and decided in 2004 that for personal reasons I needed to come back to Tallahassee, and so I did. And when I did, Black History Month came back with me.
That's good. So now before we jump into the festival, and this is a question for both you ladies, why is Black history important for you as individuals?
For me, because I am a black woman, I came from a black man and a black woman, and they have instilled in me a sense of pride with being a black girl initially and now as a black woman here in America and just the world in general. So I think that it's important to know your history as well as to celebrate your history. Right. You know, we don't come here by ourselves from the standpoint of, you know, there being no shoulders that we stand on. So right. It's important to know on whose shoulders we stand.
Exactly. All right.
And for me, I've always had what I thought was confidence, you know, always thinking I could do what anybody else could do. But it was really FAMU that opened my eyes to what black history really was, and being on that campus was everybody who was in power there was black, and everybody who had positions, the SGA president was black, and, you know, Miss FAMU was black, and I just began to see that there was a whole lot more to what we all had that was simply not being shown in the mainstream world. And so it had an effect on me. It was the first place I learned about Zora Neale Hurston. Never heard about her in high school. But, you know, those things began to make an impact.
Yeah, and that's similar to me as well, learning more about black history at FAMU, just being a black person in America, just doing my best to be aware. But, you know, those lasting educational moments that we had, especially being at FAMU, it really helped to, for me, tip it over the scale and really make it important for me to learn more about black history and be able to do the different things that I do. So I'm definitely understand that. So, Ms. Hawkins, the Black History Month Festival is your brainchild. So
it is.
Can you tell us how it was created and just on the little background information about how the festival came to be and then came to Tallahassee? Well, we know you and Nicole brought it to Tallahassee, but just how it came to be.
Okay. And if I get too excited, you guys calm me down, because every time I tell this story, I find myself just, you know, something happens and it just kind of overtakes me. But I was living in Orlando and had, after years of being in corporate America, I left the United Negro College Fund and decided to go out on my own and do public relations and promotions. And I was the unpaid director of publicity and promotions for the Miss Black Orlando pageant. And so Miss Black Orlando was on December 7th, 1991, she was selected. And so then my job, as I saw it, was to find places for February, you know, giving myself enough time, looking toward February, places for her to either be a speaker or a hostess or, you know, something in the community so that people could see and get to know her. And so having had contact with all of the black agencies in Orlando because of my former position with the United Negro College Fund, I called all 13 of the black organizations to ask them what were they doing in February that Miss Black Orlando could be a part of. And every single one of the 13 told me the same thing. Call us back in at the end of January, because nobody had started planning. Not one single black organization had planned what they were going to do. And this was December 9th now, because it's the Monday after she had been chosen on that Saturday. And when I hung up the phone from the last of them, I was simply mad. I was steaming. And I thought, this is ridiculous. I know there are things going on for Black History Month here in Orlando, because I've been there for about 3.5 years. I had gone to some of those things on behalf of the United Negro College Fund. I knew they existed, but people aren't planning them in advance. And so after I got mad, I thought, What really needs to happen is all those things need to be pulled together. They need to be, they need to all look like one unified event. And so with that thought, then I started thinking, what could I do? How could it happen? You know, what would make this so? And for 2 days, I could not sleep. I could not eat. I just was thinking about Black History Month and how to pull together a program. And so what came after that 48 hours was a series of events that I looked at doing. And right. When the 48 hours was up, you know, I put down my pen and pencil because I knew that was it. The first thing that had come to mind was to do a kickoff reception. And the kickoff reception would be the beginning of everything. But the kickoff reception would also provide a publication that would list on a day-by-day, hour-by-hour basis everything that I could find that would be going on for the month of February for Black History Month. Because I knew there were things going on. But if you weren't a member of that church or that sorority or that other organization, you might not know about it. And so the thing was, because it had happened to me, you know, I'd look in the paper and see that something had happened and say, oh, I would have gone to that if I had known. And so it was pulling these things together and then finding out what was happening and making sure that everybody knew. So here we go. Okay. We have a kickoff reception and a souvenir journal that lists things on a day-by-day basis. The other thing was, okay, I want to honor people right here in this area because Martin Luther King is fine and Malcolm X, all of them are fine, but they don't live here. And so I wanted people to know and understand that there were folks right in their midst who had done what one of my honorees called years later, I'm just an ordinary person doing extraordinary things, or at least that's how people look at it. And so I began to look for people locally who had done things that were of note, whether just in their own community or people who had done things that had affected other communities and, in some cases, the entire country. So we've got the kickoff reception, we've got the souvenir journal, we've got the honorees. Then I thought, okay, so the first event is a kickoff reception. Then the next event should be a cultural festival. The next event, a theater performance with a reception and an auction of celebrity merchandise if we can get some. And then the next event should be a festival finale, an ending event on the last day. Right. Kickoff always on the first of the month. Festival finale always on the last day of the month. And so at that point, as I mentioned to you, I was an unpaid director of publicity and promotions for the Miss Black Orlando pageant. So I had no money to really do this. So my first contact then was I called people that I knew in my former life in New York and D.C. and asked them, you know, I've got this idea. I want to do this. I want to do that. And, of course, as a promotions and publicity person, you know when you're getting ready to do an event, it takes at least 9 months to put together something of the magnitude I was talking about. So everybody I called that I knew said, Priscilla, you know you need more time than that. You can't do that. Except one person. She, and I always blame her for Black History Month Festival, she was the director of Arista Records at the time. I won't even call her name because I won't put her on the spot. But she had just done in two weeks, she had done a special luncheon for Patti LaBelle. And she said, oh, Priscilla, I just took care of this one. I just did it for Patti LaBelle and put that thing together in 2 weeks. You've got almost 2 months. Go ahead, do it. And with that kind of encouragement, I hung up. I didn't call another person because, you know, when you get the answers you want, sometimes you stop.
Yeah.
With that kind of encouragement, I said, okay, I can do this. So my first call to get some help was then to the mayor's office, a gentleman named Joe Mitiga. And I asked Joe if the city was doing anything. He said, no. I said, are you joining with anybody? He said, no. I said, can I come and see you? I have an idea. Went to Joe Mitiga. Joe Mitiga said, okay, Priscilla, what do you need from us? And I said, well, you know, I need venues. I have no money, so I need a place for these. And I need, you know, everything else that it's gonna take. And he said, well, whatever you need that we can provide, we will help you. And so I told him about the honorees, and I told him about the cultural festival. I told him about all those things. But he was really interested in the honoree section, which for me was I take the honorees one every month, every week, and I'd have photographs and a bio of them in the souvenir journal that I was going to do. He said, well, Priscilla, you know, why don't you do some of these Black History Minutes? And I said, oh, whoa, Joe, wait a minute, I don't have any money. I can't do that. He said, well, Priscilla, here's how you do it. You go to the number one station. You ask them to be involved. If they say no, go to the number two, go to the number three. I'm going to shorten this now. Joe made the introduction for the television station. Before I could go to the television station, 2 days later, I got a call from the brand new Orlando Magic. They said, we hear you're doing a Black History program, and we want to be a part of it. And I was, wait a minute, I don't have anything in place. And they said, well, what is it that you're doing? And I told them, well, I'm going to go to the television station tomorrow. And they said, well, if you come see us first, we'll go to the television station with you and make that presentation. So I went to see them first. They're, they listened to the ideas. They liked them. They were a brand new team. And when we talked about the honorees, the director of the Orlando Magic Promotions and Publicity said to me, Priscilla, can we make that 7 honorees? And I'm no, I don't even have one yet. And so she says, well, if you make it 7 honorees, we've got 7 home games, and if the television station does those honorees and does the videos for you, we will take each of those 7 videos, and at each one of the home games, we will put it on the Jumbotron to our 17,000 attendees, and at each of those games, we will honor, that particular person, show their videos, and give them another plaque, because, of course, I was going to give them a plaque. And so now this thing is getting bigger than I could have even imagined. Next day, and so in a total of 3 days now, I've already got the city as a partner. I've got the Orlando Magic as a partner. We go to the television station. Television station partners with us, gives me my first honoree, who was the name of someone they wanted to suggest, and that was Jesse Stone, the man who wrote Shake, Rattle, and Roll under the pen name Charles Calhoun. He now had been living in Orlando for 6 or 7 years. And so not only did the television station say yes, the television station gave me 2 producers, my own truck, because what I wanted was, for those honorees, we were covering 3 counties at the time, I wanted to go to where they did whatever it was that they did and film them in that location. So they gave me a truck, they gave me 3 people, and they filmed all those honorees. So it was more than I could have imagined. First day of the kickoff, I had 7 partners, more than 250 people showed up, and in my mind's eye, I could not have imagined that kind of reception.
That's amazing.
From 1992, February of 1992 until...
First year, right.
Right, until 2012, the Black History Month Festival existed
here is the progression.
Orlando, Tallahassee, in Atlanta, correct?
Yes. We did 7 years, I think it was, in Atlanta. I'm sorry, in Orlando. And then I left that area to move back to Tallahassee and take a job. When I did, it went on for 1 more year because the community partners there, even without me being there, they did it for another year by themselves, and we just did phone conferences. Then I took it to Atlanta when I moved to Atlanta in 2003 and 4, and came back here in 2004 to Tallahassee for family issues. And Dr. James Hawkins, no relation to me, was dean of the FAMU School of Journalism at the time. And so I'd gone in to talk to him about what I'd been doing, since I had left. FAMU always wants to bring their students back and kind of get an idea of how they've been dealing with things and, what their life has been like since they left, the school. And when I told him about the program, he said, Priscilla, we need this program here, because I really had no intention of doing it in Tallahassee. But Dr. Hawkins said, we need it. FAMU needs to be involved in this. And he offered whatever help he could provide. That very first year, he printed here in Tallahassee the publication. And we did it from 2005 to 2012 here in Tallahassee. And then again, because at that time, from the time I started it until 2012, I really kind of was the glue to hold the program together. And so I, with things going on in my family, I dropped it.
I dropped Black History Month because I needed to concentrate on family issues. And from 12 to 19, people kept saying, Priscilla, you know, when are you going to bring it back? When are you going to bring it back? And I kept saying, I don't know. And in April, I think it was, March or April of 2019, I was attending an event, and Nicole Everett happened to be at the table getting a little bit of snack and refreshment that I was at. And she said, Priscilla, you know, we talked a little, and she said, well, when are you bringing Black History back? And I said, I don't know. And she said, you know, that she wanted to see it come back. And I said, well, are you going to help? And she said, yeah, I'll help. And that was it. So she is the reason that there is a relaunch of Black History Month Festival in Tallahassee for 2020.
That's a great story. Just listening to it, I'm just running it through my mind like it's a movie. It's trying to create characters in my head for the people that I don't know. But that's an excellent story because it's you looking around, seeing what was missing, seeing how things were operating, and making sure that you put your hand in so that things could operate a bit smoother, a bit more on time, but also created something that's lasted since 92, and it's 2020 now. So hats off to you.
Yeah, and I think the lesson for not only me but for other people is, you know, okay, so something isn't working. So if it isn't working, what can you do to make it work? You know, and again, as I said, you know, yeah, I had these ideas, you know, to do these four events and, you know, and this souvenir journal and, you know, these honorees, you know, their pictures in the book. It grew, you know, when you start telling what your ideas are. Sometimes other people grab that vision and make it bigger than you could have thought, because never in my wildest dream could I have thought that I would have gotten videos of all those honorees done for free, and then all of them running all month long. And then the magic, taking those same videos and, you know, putting them on, it was more than I could have ever thought. It was beyond me.
Exactly.
So I
want to ask this, since so we have the background information about the festival, and you, in your explanation of the background of the festival, you talked about certain events that were staples in these, in the various festivals that you've had. So for this year's festival, this 2020 festival here in Tallahassee, can you elaborate about the events included within the festival and different ways people can be able to attend these events?
Well, I'm just going to say a couple of things, and I'm going to turn it over to Nicole because it is her doing. If you will remember, I started out with four events and two connected components. I had gotten up to, here in Tallahassee, six events, you know, but some partner events as well, and still two components. This year, we now have 25 featured events. We've got some new partners. We've got a new structure. An advisory council. And so I'm going to let Nicole, since it's all her fault, explain and discuss all of those great things.
Sure, not a problem. So we have the kickoff program on Saturday, February 1st, 10 a.m., the Black Archives at Historic Union Bank, 219 Appalachie Parkway. We will have our essay contest, our Eva B. Manning essay contest winners announced at that event. That was for 5th, 6th, and 7th graders, the I Am Black History essay contest. We also will have brunch provided, a fish fry, Saturday morning fish fry, for the cost of $10. You can have access to that via Eventbrite or the day of the event. And we will have some entertainment, as well as some acknowledgments, special acknowledgments and remarks. So the 100 Black Men of Tallahassee will be there to assist us with this event in terms of volunteering to provide refreshments and just assist us wherever we need. So So we are very excited about this kickoff reception. We also have our tour.
Well, before you leave the kickoff reception, I just want to mention that as in previous years when we've done it here in Tallahassee, we are also going to be unveiling the Black Heritage Stamp that the United States Post Office does every year. So you don't want to miss that.
You don't want to miss it. So that's the kickoff event. We also have Black Heritage Tours on the 8th and the 9th of February in Frenchtown and downtown. These will be walking tours. We'll get more information on that. But Renee Hicks, who's on the council and also the founder and owner of SNR Tours, will be facilitating that. We also are promoting Tallahassee African Fashion Week, which is a presentation by Kumba Creations, which will begin February 6th. They have an opening reception on the 6th. They have a fashion talk on February 7th, a children's fashion show on February 8th, and the Ankara fashion show on February 9th. So you can go to Eventbrite to get all of the information regarding Tallahassee African Fashion Week 2020, which again will be February 6th through the 9th, and they are one of our partner organizations. In addition to that, we will be, again, partnering with the Southern Shakespeare Company and Tallahassee Community College to do a theater performance reception auction on Wednesday, February 6th at 6 p.m. at TCC's Turner Auditorium. This will be a grand event. We will have an auction prior to the theater performance. This performance is of Romeo and Juliet. The tickets are $25. That also can be purchased online. And at the reception, we will have food. We will have auction items. We will do a live auction. And then the performance will begin, I believe, at 7. Priscilla, jump in here if I'm missing something. But this will be a great opportunity for you to come out and bid on some auction items, as well as to see a great performance. And there will be a discussion of the performance immediately following it. So,
and let me just say two things on that. The correct date on that is Wednesday, February 12th. The 12th, yes. And the play is based on Romeo and Juliet. However, it actually is pulled together from interviews of local people. And it actually talks about things that actually happened here in Tallahassee. And it's really kind of about race and diversity. And so it kind of follows in line with the theme for Black history. So there is kind of a tug of war, if you will, in people understanding each other. And so, it's an opportunity to come out and just learn a little more about your city, our city, and enjoy yourself as well.
And it's titled A Town Divided. Okay, so
that's A Town Divided. Thank you.
Yes. On February 13th, another partner of ours, the Village Square, has their Created Equal 60th anniversary of the Tallahassee Lunch Counter Sit-Ins, which will be at the Moon at 6 p.m. This is a free event. They do ask that you RSVP at tlh.villagesquare.us, but this will include some of the family members and participants of the Tallahassee Lunch Counter Sit-In some 60 years ago. So this is in collaboration with Leon County, again, Village Square, Florida Humanities, the Club of Honest Citizens, and again, this will be at the Moon on Thursday the 13th at 6 p.m. And a meal will be provided. Also, on the 14th, and Priscilla, you may have to help me with these, there will be a 5K run
hosted by the Wakulla County Christian Coalition in Wakulla County. This is a new event, but this is something that will be part of, you know, their Black History events, as well as the Arthur Andrews Scholarship Gala, which will be also on that Friday, February 14th.
Okay.
On Saturday, February 15th, will be the African American Heritage Celebration Parade. This will be a parade, again, in Wakulla County. You can contact Robert Manning at 850-545-3928 for more information on that if you want to participate in that parade. But this parade will also culminate into a celebration in the park. And there will be vendors and just, you know, events out there or community engagement out at the celebration. So we're not only in Tallahassee, but in Wakulla County
in
as well.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
In addition to that, we also have more heritage tours, which will be taking place on the 22nd and 23rd, Frenchtown Southside. And the one on the 22nd will end at Cascade Park for FAMU's annual Harambe Festival, which will be taking place at Cascade. And you can go to FAMU.edu for more information about that. I feel like I'm forgetting something. Help me out.
Okay, I'm going to help you out here because one of my favorite events, in fact, my favorite event is also going to be in Wakulla on Sunday, February 16th, and it is the African-American Read-In. It is where we invite people to come out, bring your favorite book so that you can read your favorite passage from whether it's a book or a poem or even song lyrics. So everybody gets an opportunity to get up before the audience and read your passage and tell people why you love whether it's that author or those particular words or when you learned about that particular author or found that book, and so adults and children are invited. And since it's at the Wakulla County Library, if you don't have a book, we'll have some books there for you. In addition, we feature local Black writers, Black authors who are at the event and have an opportunity to share with you their writings, and they are there to tell you about and sell their books. So if you know someone who is an author from the Big Bend area, you know, tell them to get in touch with us because they may have an opportunity to share with this audience exactly why they became a writer and what their book is about. But we have two other African-American read-ins too. Both of those are at schools. Our ambassador this year, and this is a brand new designation, we've always had honorees, but this year we didn't choose honorees as we normally do. This was actually my pick. This woman was a teacher for 30-plus years, I think about 38 years, and she attended, I believe, our very first Black History program in Tallahassee at the main post office, which is where we had it for all those years before this relaunch, the main post office on Adams Street. And the African American Read-In is an event that may have been going on here, but not as big as it is now. Everybody, you know, the libraries have read-ins now, and, you know, folks at schools have read-ins now. But at any rate, in 2005, we talked about the read-ins, and Miss Carol Jackson Curry, a teacher at Springwood Elementary, now former teacher because she's retired, she started an African-American read-in at her school that year, and then a couple years later, she, continuing to do it, started having celebrity readers from the community come in and read to more than 30 classes of students twice a day on that particular day. So she's now in her 15th year, and even though she has retired from Springwood Elementary, she still coordinates this for the Springwood Elementary classes. And so on Monday, February 3rd, she has two sessions, one at 8:45 a.m. and one at 1:45 p.m. She is still looking for volunteers, so you can call the Black History number if you'd like, but let me see if I can find a number for her, because if you want to go into those classes and read to students to help with their enjoyment of reading books and just falling in love with reading, I'm sure she'd be glad to have you. I don't have her number right away, but our number is area code 850-879-9282. So that's, now you've heard about two of our read-ins, but there's a third one. And so on February 21st, that's a Friday, February 21st, Leon County Schools has joined with us this year, and we're so pleased. They have 13 schools that are going to have celebrity readers come into those schools, and those readers will be the individuals who are being honored by Tallahassee Community College on their African-American history calendar.
That's nice.
And I just want to put a plug in here because our own Nicole Everett is one of those people who's going to be featured this year. Yeah, that event, thank you.
Congratulations, Nicole, as well.
Appreciate it.
Yes. So we're happy about that. But, again, that's February 21st, which is a Friday, and that's in the schools. You want to go on now with the rest
sure
of your lineup?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. And then our finale, which is our time capsule ceremony, we will be collecting items. We have actually already started collecting items from this time frame. The essay contest winners, their essays will be in the time capsule, and we will actually bury this time capsule on Florida A&M University's campus. This capsule will be open in 20 years. The idea is to have it buried for 20 years, and hopefully the youth in particular will come back in 20 years and assist in excavating it and seeing what life was like in 2020. We're real excited about that, and to capture all of, what Black history is like during this time and how we are celebrating it, is going to be very special.
And what I want to add to this, Joseph, but if you will, let me add, we in this effort that we have going on for Black History Month Festival, we cover 9 counties. We cover 6 counties in Florida and 3 counties in Georgia. We cover Leon, Wakulla, Jefferson, Gadsden, Franklin, and Madison counties in Florida, and Thomas, Decatur, and Grady counties in Georgia. And we have a major partner over in Thomasville, the Jack Hadley Black History Museum. And Mr. Hadley is just someone that I absolutely admire. And he started that museum with his own money, his own collection, and now it's been... I know it's been practically 20 years, maybe more, that he has had this museum going. And he has a number of events going on over there. He's got a number of art history gallery talks. He's bringing in an artist, and I'm trying to find that date. But one of the most significant things that he has been doing, I know, for the last 15 years is bringing in the Buffalo Soldiers motorcycle group. It's an African-American group, and for the last 15 years, he has brought them in. They'll be in Thomasville at the Jack Hadley Museum on, that's Saturday, February 15th, and it's the annual Buffalo Soldiers Heritage Festival. And again, fun food, entertainment, and a wonderful learning experience and an opportunity to view all that is in the museum. I'm going to just let the cat out of the bag here. The museum has purchased a green book facility in the area, and I am just so pleased about that. And I'm not gonna say any more about that because I'm hoping, Joseph, that at some point he will have an opportunity to come to your podcast and talk about
right.
that since it's his baby.
Okay, now that would be great. That would be great. But one of the great things I like about the festival is it's an array of events that's from different people with different mindsets, but it's all come to the same objective of making sure that we are celebrating Black history and we are learning Black history. So that takes me to my next mm-hmm. question. With all the events that you have going on, so 25 total events, what is about?
And those are just our events? And those are just our featured events. Those are not
exactly.
events that we don't even know about yet. One of the things we try to get people to do is plan early because, as I mentioned,
right.
that very first year that I tried to do it and, you know, start it with the idea in 1991,
right. people
calling around in December, you know, folk said, call us back at the end of January. And unfortunately, that is still the mindset that we work with. So, you know, we keep trying to tell people, plan early, and that way, you know, we can get, you know, your event into the publication. That's been one of the problems for me for years, you know, in putting out a printed publication. Let me just say that in this year of, or these, you know, ongoing years now of the internet and websites, social media and all of that, I'm still an old fogey and I like, you know, I like printed copy.
We're gonna bring you
but Nicole
date,
has
bring
yeah.
she's been pushing and nudging and, you know, and saying we don't need printed copies, we don't need, and I said, yeah,
right.
but I still want to do them, and I still, so as of last week, I yielded.
Right.
I'm still gonna print a few copies, not 10,000,
yeah.
not 10,000.
Digital stuff works nowadays, yeah.
But
save the trees.
Right.
Save the trees, okay. But what we have talked about is the publication will still exist. So those of you who haven't gotten your events to us yet, please do.
Right.
Our website address is BHMF for Black History Month Festival,
yeah.
BHMFtally.com. So, you know, call us, go to the website, let us know what your events are so that you know, I can get them into the materials that we are getting out. What we want to do is we want to help promote your events as well because
right.
people would attend a lot of these, and a lot of them are free. But
right.
if they don't know about them, you know, when they don't even hear about them until after they're over,
right.
you know, then
right.
it really defeats the purpose of you wanting to be able to teach and provide people with information. And
if nobody knows about it.
Yeah. So, you know, we want to increase your audiences. We want to help you get crowds into your places. And so please let us know what your events are. So normally we have more than 100 events. You know, it takes some time for us to get them all in because they trickle in. But, you know, we have 25, so we should have at least 125 this time. So, folks, get your information into us. We're going to have... still having a souvenir journal, but it's going to be online, and I asked our website designer if he would just make sure that, you know, you can still turn the pages one at a time so you can see everything.
Right.
And somehow mark what you want.
Right. So let me ask this overall, because I'm hearing the passion coming out as you're talking about this festival, because clearly this is your baby. So overall, From past festivals and your expectations of this festival, but how does the festival, with all of the events and all of the information included, how does the festival help its attendees learn more about Black history and just become more immersed in Black history and understand the importance of Black history?
I will tell you that every single time that I have done this festival, I've learned a lot, you know. I've learned things that I didn't know. And so it's important to me that, especially the young people, but the older ones too, that they find out about somebody who's right here with them, people they might see in the grocery store or, you know, at the gym or wherever it is that they go, and they say, oh, I saw that person on television. Oh, I learned about what she did. Oh, she was the first to do XYZ. Oh, a museum is named after his aunt or his grandmother. I visited that place. And have that pride in knowing that these were African Americans who accomplished these things. There are great contributions and achievements that African Americans have made to this country that have been hidden. You know, other people have taken the credit for mm-hmm. making some things happen that actually right. that credit belongs to African Americans. But mm-hmm. the stories have not been told by us. I certainly believe that we all have to tell our own stories, because he who tells the story tells it in the manner that he wants, and he makes himself right. the hero. You know, mm-hmm. if we look back at the Cowboys, all those pictures we watched when we were youngsters, you know, who was the hero? The Indians certainly weren't, but if the Indians had been telling the story themselves, it would have been told differently. So, you know, we all have our own viewpoints, and so we just need to tell our truth.
There you go.
There's a saying that history belongs to the teller of it.
Yeah.
And there are a number of stories to be told. And as we like to say at Black History Month Festival amongst the council, Black history is an important part of American history. And it's important that history be told. And Tallahassee has a unique Black history story, or several, many Black history stories to be told. I mean, as we, you know, get ready to celebrate the 60th anniversary of the Tallahassee Lunch Counter sit-in, I'm sure a number of people didn't even know that there was a Lunch Counter sit-in in Tallahassee 60 years ago.
And did not know that it was led by FAMU students.
Exactly.
You know, so there's a lot that, you know, certain people know. And what we don't want to do is we don't want to wait until the tellers of these stories, the people who know the firsthand stories, we don't want to wait until they're all not around anymore. So we need to be able to get those stories out, whether it's in the written word, whether it's in video, or, you know, on a website, you know, in whatever manner, so that it remains. And, you know, again, we want to tell our truth so that other people know the parts that we had in making things as they are, those wonderful things that exist, you know.
Yeah.
So
exactly.
Those of us who, you know, there are some stories out there right now that we don't know anything about. You know, there was a woman I met. There was a woman I met at FSU when I was at an event, and I started talking to her about the fact that my heart hurts because the old jailhouse where these students who led these sit-ins and who participated in these sit-ins were jailed. You know, and they refused to leave jail. They stayed there. And a year and a half ago, mm-hmm. it was torn down. It was torn down. You know, but that it was a story. The Kinseys, I don't know how many of you know the Kinseys, but they have this wonderful collection of African-American memorabilia. And both of them went to FAMU, and they both went to jail. Now they are, they're legends in their own right, both in California, here, and across the country. Had we been able to keep that, they might have been able to walk in and say, this was the jail cell that I was in. You know, here's the scribble I put on the wall. You know, so we don't have that now, but we have to begin to tell those stories even without that facility. So saving our places are really important, and that's why I am so happy that Jack Hadley over in Thomasville has been able to save one of the facilities that was in the Green Book, which was that book that Black people needed to get their hands on so they knew back in the 50s and 60s which places were safe for them to stop in and where they could get a night's rest and not be run out of town or treated badly. So saving those sites, those legacies, those landmarks is important. And, you know, we've got to tell the stories you know, of those folks who may have gone on. And you know, one of the things that I'm real proud of, and it was Nicole's idea, we lost a Tallahassee icon late last year, Eva B. Mannings. And Miss right. Mannings was a teacher in Tallahassee for 30-plus years. As these, you know, these ladies give their lives to, you know, helping to just bring up generations of children. You know, they teach the mothers, and then, you know, they come back and teach the mothers' children. So Miss Manning was a teacher extraordinaire, and she was also the first black woman to have a regular column in the Tallahassee Democrat. So that's a story to be told, and there are other stories about her. So Nicole insisted that we name the new contest after
her. Exactly. That's where I was going. That's where I was going.
Okay.
Because, you know, you led into the next question, and that's fine. But because it was, why did you choose Eva B. Mannings to name your essay contest after her? And that question is not a slight to her or anyone else, but it's just a curious question of her, but also a question to get you to elaborate on the information that you just gave about her history. But what was it about her history that made you two, especially Nicole, what was it about her history that made you say, this is the person that we want to dedicate this essay contest to this year?
Well, I believe
Nicole,
that's on you.
Yeah, but I believe, as Priscilla already stated, you know, she served in Leon County Public Schools for more than 30 years. She had a column in the Democrat, and she was a well-respected educator here in this community. So what better way to pay homage to her?
Right.
And for me, Miss Manning was at times my traveling partner. The TCC African American History Calendar event, I would often call her and say, Miss Manning, they're having it, you know, and I tell her when it was. She would say, oh, okay, good. And I said, Miss Manning, do you want me to come pick you up? And she'd say, yes, come get me. And we would travel to that event together. And, you know, so she was my riding partner at that event. So it coming up on Monday and having our illustrious Nicole Everett being chosen to is wonderful. But Miss Manning was my partner at that event. You know, we'd get there and we'd walk in together, but, you know, she knew everybody. And so I'd see her at the end of the event because everybody wanted a piece of her, you know. And it's wonderful that we were able to do this. And so her, you know, her daughter, one of her daughters is going to join us on February 1st. As we pay tribute to her through this essay contest.
That's amazing. For one, you know, as a historian myself, for people to be able to get a closer peek into the richness of the history of Tallahassee and the number of people who either are from Tallahassee or who came through Tallahassee at some point who contributed greatly to either the local black history of Tallahassee or national, international black history. It's a small city, but it made a great impact in the civil rights struggle and just black history, period. So that's one of the things that I'm really looking forward to with this upcoming festival, is just how much more we are going to learn about our ancestors just right here in this small city that often gets overlooked in its historical contribution.
Right, right. Because, you know, again, you know, we see these people every day, and we might not know the impact that they've had, you know. But I want folks to look at these people with new eyes, because the things they have done, as I mentioned earlier, one of my honorees in Orlando said, you know, I'm just an ordinary person, but, you know, I guess I'm doing some extraordinary things. You know, that's what you folks say. I'm, you know, things I've done are extraordinary. But they're extraordinary because whatever the obstacles are, these folks just keep moving through them, you know?
Yeah.
So that's what's important to me,
yeah,
that
so
we know who they are.
That's true.
That's true. So now I want to ask, I want to start this question directed at Nicole first and then come at you, Ms. Hawkins. So what are some places, because we're talking about this rich history Tallahassee has, what are some places that you've learned about around Tallahassee that people can visit to learn more about Black history and the Black history of Tallahassee?
So there's a Civil Rights Heritage Walk right downtown on Jefferson Street between City Hall and the courthouse that commemorates the civil rights activities that took place here in Tallahassee, where that actual lunch counter was, where that sit-in took place, is right there. It was right there on that corner. So that is a place that I highly recommend that folks visit, and they can get a better understanding of who the people were that participated in that, in civil rights at that time, the civil rights movement in the 1950s and 60s here in Tallahassee, as well as the Smoky Hollow Memorial, which is not too far from where that civil rights heritage walk is, but it's kind of catacorner from the Riley House, John G. Riley House Museum, which is another spot. But there's actually a barber shop that once existed in the Smoky Hollow neighborhood that is on site, as well as some schematics of there's a building, the shell of a building that shows what the contents of the house were. The contents are there, but it outlines like where the bed was, where the, you know, the kitchen and the bathroom, you know, all of this, the living spaces and all of that. It's really fascinating to see. It's kind of, you know, chilling just to imagine it. Smoky Hollow, though, was a neighborhood right where this memorial is, but part of what has what broke up the neighborhood is the highway that came through there. So, you know, to have this, you know, this memorial, I think, is also special, and probably, you know, a number of people don't know about this that may live right here in Tallahassee.
Yeah.
So those are just a few. I mean, there are a few more, but those are just a few that kind of stand out to me.
Okay. Well, what about you?
And some that are important to me, the Taylor House over in Frenchtown, still standing,
yes,
thank goodness. It is a tribute to Aquilina Howell, who, again, was another educator. And, in fact, she has a Leon County Administration Building named after her over on Pensacola Street, I believe, as well. So the Aquilina Howell location is called the Taylor House. It was the home of her, I think, grandparents. And so it's in Frenchtown. It's one of the locations that you will see when you, and if you go on the Black Heritage Tour that we have scheduled. Also in the downtown area is the Tooks House. And that was one of the places where Black entertainers who were coming to the Tallahassee area on the Chitlin' Circuit were able to stay. Again, you know, I talk about the Green Book and the fact that, you know, that book listed places where individuals who were African American were traveling, you know, it gave them an indication of where they could go that was safe. And so they couldn't stay in the regular hotels. And so the Tooks House is one of those places where entertainers like Ray Charles, you know, knew that they could come from out of town and be safe and have a, you know, a place to lay their head. Then there's also, you know, from a times that are a little more current, over in the area near FAMU is the Jake Gaither House. That house has a lot of Jake Gaither's memorabilia. And for those of you who don't know who Jake Gaither was, and if you're from Tallahassee, if you've been here for a while, you know Jake Gaither was, you know, the coach extraordinaire of FAMU's football team for years and years. And so his house is in the Tallahassee area, and he, you know, he's known nationally and probably internationally as well. He's no longer with us, but, you know, his house still stands. So we have both a site and his legacy, you know, that we can point to. So, you know, those three places are important to me. And so when I was growing up here in Tallahassee, you know, I went to school, I went back. When I went to FAMU, I went, you know, went to school, went home, went to work. And it's often said that when you live in a town, you don't really know it because you don't visit the sites that people come from out of town or out of the country to visit. And so we want to change that for Tallahassee. We want our residents to know where these things are and to visit them and to be proud of them. You know, don't just let people come in from other places, from other countries, you know, and visit them and know about them. And then if you happen to be somewhere and somebody mentions it, you don't even know a thing about it. So that's what's important. You know, we need to know what belongs to us. And that's important for me.
Right. Now, that's a lot of great history and a lot of great sites that both of you gave. Me being a native from Tallahassee, not really learning about any of that information until like the last 5 years. And for me, I just feel like that's very unacceptable. But also I'm trying to do my best to make sure I'm a part of the younger generation being able to learn this information earlier. So that's why I'm really excited about the festival as a whole, but not just this year for the festival, but the future of the festival, knowing that, we have one this year, and once it gets going, and then we can see how it works and see how things flow and be able to build and add new things and just incorporate as we go. So more and more of our Tallahasseeans and people in the surrounding areas be able to learn about the rich history of Tallahassee and, you know, the Union Bank and all these different places, the Black Archives that we have that people don't even visit because they may not know. So,
right.
I do appreciate that information.
And let me just mention this about the Black Archives. You know, we definitely are putting our festival finale time capsule on the property. But before that, and I think it is the 23rd, Nicole, I don't know if you have your list with you, but the Black Archives has a new exhibit that's opening, and they're doing a dedication to the James Weldon Johnson song, which is normally referred to as the Black National Anthem, Lift Every Voice and Sing. But at the same time, they are opening, here we go again with legacies, sites, and landmarks. They are going to have an exhibit opening that features Black churches that existed on plantations in and around Tallahassee.
Yeah, 64 plantations. Who would have thought of that? Tri-County area. Mm-hmm.
I mean, who in the world?
Yeah.
You know, we think that we are so far removed from slavery, and that's really not the case. You know, we wish it were so, but there are these places. Some of them still exist in their same locations. But even for those that do not, in addition to this research and this exhibit letting us know where they were, there are models of what some of them looked like back in previous years. So I simply invite you all to make sure that that is an exhibit that you visit. I just think it would teach us so much.
So, I want to ask this question before we get to our last question. Like I said, the festival starts February 1st. And this question is for the both of you, and I want to direct it at Ms. Hawkins first and then Nicole. Because I want the different perspectives. I want Ms. Hawkins' perspective from 1992 to now, and I would like Nicole's perspective from when Ms. Hawkins brought you the idea to now. So, the planning stages, you've all been able to go through the planning stages of the festival. So what have you learned new from the planning stages of this festival? What have you learned new, whether it's historical, technological, or whatever? What have you learned new to help reinforce
you know for me, Joseph, you know that it's all this new stuff, this, you know, when I started this, and even when I stopped it in 2012 here in Tallahassee, there may have been websites at that point, but, you know, Facebook and all of this other stuff, Instagram, Twitter, all that stuff did not exist as it does today, you know. So luckily there are the younger folk who are trying to pull me into these new ages. You know, I'm still a print person at heart. But, you know, now hopefully some of the information can get out faster. You know, the way they used to talk about the $6 million man, you know,
right,
faster and better and all of that. So, you know, hopefully some of that is happening for the festival. I want to make sure that it continues to leave some imprint on people's mind that they want it to happen again. They want to know what else is going on. They want things, you know, they want to know that, you know, a place that had something before is going to have something new. Or they're going to do the same, you know, the same thing again and add something to it. You know, and if I really look back to the 7 years that I did not do the program, even though, you know, having one or two or 10 people, you know, say, you know, when are you going to start doing that again? You know, when are you bringing the festival back? So that lets me know that there are people who saw an importance, learned something, wanted more. And so hopefully this is the more, and it can continue, and we can draw more people in to help with that and begin to write new chapters of what Black history means in Tallahassee.
Okay. Same question to you, Nicole. What have you learned new, whether historical, technological, or whatever, that help reinforce your confidence in the power of learning our history?
So just that there are a number of stories that, again, as we have stated, that have yet to be told, and the importance of telling them. You know, we as human beings are very driven by stories. We're moved by stories. And, you know, we like to, I think we're intrigued by stories of people who look like us, who have similar experiences as us. And, you know, oftentimes as Black people in America, our stories aren't told in the mainstream media. It's gotten a lot better probably over the last decade or two, but, again, there still are many stories to be told. So I've learned that there's a need to tell these stories and also to have a clearinghouse of where these events, you know, people can go to this clearinghouse, this one location to find out where the Black History Month events are taking place. I think, you know, we often tend to operate in silos in the community and we have different groups doing different things. But if, you know, if for nothing else, if just for Black History Month, we can serve as a place where folks can find out about all or most of the, you know, Black history events for the entire month of February, that I think would just make me ecstatic. So, you know, we're working really hard to provide that and hope to do that for many years to come.
Okay.
And, you know, we know that, you know, Black history doesn't happen just in February. You know, but we take
right.
February because it's what's nationally known, and you know, we want to build on that, you know, because other things happen throughout the year too, and so we don't want to miss those things either. But right now, let's deal with what we have, and build on that, and then hopefully more of us will come together and start doing things jointly, you know, for the balance of the year as well. What I want to say is, as I know you're getting ready to close, but I want people to take to heart our motto, which is Black history, an important part of American history. Because, you know, a lot of things that exist now, some of the goodness, some of the inventions, that wouldn't have happened without us. Even though we came in a manner that we, our ancestors came in a manner that we aren't really happy about, We're here, and we've just added some greatness to this country. So our part is an important part of the whole. So do please get to us your information. Our phone number again is 850-879-9282. And our website is bhmftally.com, bhmftally.com. And Joseph, I think, and you get me, straighten me out if I'm wrong here, I think you can reach our other accounts, Facebook and Twitter and Instagram, by going to bhmftally. BHMF yes. Tally.
Yes. Yes. Well, Instagram,
I'm trying to learn the new stuff.
Yeah.
Yes, Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. All of that is at BHMF Tally.
Right. And yes. And before we do close it out, Nicole, I know you said at the beginning of the show, but can you tell the people again where they can find your information about Conversations with Nicole, and so they can also subscribe to your YouTube channel and be able to support you as well.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. But before I do, I want to also state, just to piggyback on what Priscilla said, there is no American history without Black history. We helped build this country. I don't know if anybody, if the listeners have been to the National Museum of African American History and Culture in Washington, D.C., but I was there for the opening ceremony in September of 2016, and I never felt more like I belonged in this country after having that experience in seeing and in witnessing these people's stories. So, you know, we need to be proud of being Black people in America. You know, we have survive some horrific situations and circumstances, you know, horrific traumas and terrorism that has been launched against our people, but yet we're still here. We're still standing. We're still, you know, we're still surviving. So, you know, I have such a great sense of pride in, you know, being a Black woman here in America, and, you know, unapologetically. So I hope that, you know, folks, not only Black people, but especially Black people, there's a sense of pride in terms of what our parents and forefathers have contributed to this country and to us being here right now in 2020. So with that said, Conversations with Nicole can be found on YouTube, Conversations with Nicole YouTube channel, Conversations with Nicole on IG, Instagram, as well as on Facebook. And the website is CWN Moments, that's CWNMOMENTS.com, CWNMoments.com. And the email address is conversationswithnicole@gmail.com.
All right. And once again, Miss Priscilla Hawkins and Miss Nicole Everett represent the Black History Month Festival, which will be held here in Tallahassee, Florida, starting February 1st through the end of February here in 2020. It's a collection of Black History Month events. And I greatly appreciate both of you for your time on the podcast, given the information that you've given, your passion, and just all of the connections and information that you have displayed here on this podcast is greatly appreciated. Going to make sure we circulate this podcast to everybody that we know so they can learn more about the Black History Month Festival. And
invite them all to our kickoff reception.
Yes, yes, yes. Everybody has to be there. So that's one of the main reasons why I want you to be on this podcast, to give more information about it, so when we share it, that all of our listeners and our listeners' friends can know about it, and their word can spread even more. So,
can I tell them that date and time once more?
Yes,
that's
ma'am.
Saturday, February 1st, 10 a.m. to 1:30 p.m. at the Union Bank, which is at the corner of Calhoun and Appalachie Parkway at 219 Appalachia Parkway. It's the little blue building that sits on the corner, one block away from from the Capitol. And we're going to kick off Black History Month Festival on that day. Come join us. Saturday morning fish fry. The public is invited. You don't have to partake in the fish fry, but it's open and free to the public. If you want to have breakfast, the Saturday morning fish fry breakfast is $10. But come for the unveiling. Come for learning. Come to learn what's going on so that you can attend other events throughout the month.
Right, right. So with that being said, once again, thank you, Nicole. Thank you, Ms. Hawkins, for coming on this podcast. We appreciate your time.
Thank
I ain't going to take up no more of you guys' time, but thank you once again.
Pleasure.
And
look
forward to hearing more from you, and we just going to make sure we spread this word.
All right. We appreciate it. Thank you so much.
All right. No problem. Thank
Bye-bye.
You, ladies. Talk to you later.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. So, once again, Ms. Priscilla Hawkins, Ms. Nicole Everett, representing the Black History Month Festival that will be held in Tallahassee starting February 1st. Y'all go ahead and put your hands together. For them ladies, hands together. Hey, man, Black history is world history, which is our history. And it's our stories, and it's our job to tell our stories. And it's our job to make sure that our future understand our stories and understand the power behind our stories and the significance of us telling our own stories. So with that being said, I am Joseph Ward. This right here is the Six Sports Podcast. Amen. Black History Month is around the corner, but you know, with us, Black History Month is every day. That's why we do what we do when we do what we do. So two fingers in the air like a player. We up out of here. Remember, visit our website at www.freedomtrainradio.com. And peace out.